Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1.
Play therapist Reg Igo is back with us again today. Good to have you.
Thank
you, sibling
Oliver.
Rivalry has already got some messages in among the children. What can you tell us?
Everybody has something to say about it, don't they?
Yeah. It has an impact on the kids.
It does. And just before we go to the rivalry, I suppose, I just want to say the positive bits, because parents that I meet, we always want to go within with the negative bit and the parts that need to be fixed. But like, if you're lucky enough to have siblings, it's probably going to be the longest relationship you have in your life. They're a social playground for the wider world, for society. Like, children with siblings are so lucky. They're first society, you know, your siblings.
And as you say, the play is the very important thing, and it's going to sort us out for the world, isn't it? Because your siblings are going to be the sort of the power struggle that you're going to face
Absolutely. And with siblings, you can really explore the most vulnerable parts of yourself in relationship, because you can really go to war with the deep knowledge that this war is going to end and we're going to be friends and we're going to have each other's backs. And even when siblings are squabbling or maybe not getting on very well in later life, when a diagnosis comes or when something goes wrong, it's often your siblings that, you know, you go to first, or that you're even able to accept that care from, or that level of care and affection, and show your vulnerable side. So, you know, it's just important to start off with that bit first.
Yeah. When I hear young parents talking about their families these days, I do hear a lot kind of worries of the age gap, that they want to have all their kids together, that like maximum a year between them. Does that make a difference, really?
Yeah, well, Adler, you know, he's a psychology giant, would say that if you're 6 years apart, you're actually born in another family constellation. So there is something in it.
Specifically 6 years.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's but I mean, I suppose you think of when children leave home and they're living at home for longer now, and there's all of that. And, you know, we were talking about family dynamics last time, all of it. None of this is fact, but it's just something to bear in mind that, of course, every child who's born into a family and shares that unique experience of grown up in the same household, they're also born into a different family. They're born to different parents and their experiences are different. Right. And I think when we think of adults, and I just heard the message you read out before I came on there, it's so painful.
I know.
And even it's so painful and triggering, even when, as an adult, our sibling has a different memory than we have, because our memories form our identity. So if we make some flippant comment about our dad or our brother or how they spoke to us, and our sibling cuts us off and doesn't believe us, it really hurts to the core, because you're like, well, that shaped me. That is who I am. No, that's what happened, you know.
Start to doubt your own sanity, that you're misremembering. But memory is not a great, not a very reliable witness.
No, and sure, what affects one child doesn't always affect another child. You know, our experiences are so different. Our interpretation even of the same event is so different.
So it doesn't really matter the gaps between siblings, does it? Does it affect the hierarchy or the relationship they have with each other if it's 1 year or a couple of years?
Yeah, well, they say even with twins, the twins will always know who's the oldest and who's the youngest and will behave and have that hierarchy. So I guess yes and no. Exactly, first out. Yeah, and, you know, birth order does have an impact. Yeah. But then sometimes, even with the birth order, you could have a middle child who behaves more like the eldest child. You know, it also...
Does it happen?
Depends. Well, it does sometimes, you know, especially if you have other family around and you're involved in with the cousins a lot, and there's a shake up there, you know, in the configuration, I suppose. And then not to mention blended families or step families, where again the birth order can be totally shaken up again. So the youngest child has now become the middle child, and that youngest child, their identity might be closely aligned with them, been the baby and been protected, or been, you know, that child who everybody loves, and now suddenly they're in the middle. So it does, all of these things come into play, but it's all about balance, I suppose.
So the rivalry, favouritism, competition between siblings, it all sets up. What should parents be looking out for?
Well, first and foremost, it's normal. It's totally normal. So to look at your fantasies, you know, we have fantasies of them skipping down the road like the Waltons. But a certain amount of rivalry is healthy and normal. And also, every family will have war and peace, will have regulation and dysregulation, will have balance, challenge and support in one family. And that's really important to remember, because certain amounts of the rivalry and the fights are normal. But then I always, when I meet parents in workshops or in my practice, we're always looking at, you know, if they feel that it's, you know, really a problem, to look at what the function of it is, because all human behaviour has a function. So what is the function of these fights? What's happening? Could it be regulation? So if we just take regulation by itself, and I know you and I, in one of our previous conversations, we've spoken about how regulation is actually not about being calm. It's about knowing how I am right now. I'm angry right now, so I'm shouting. Well, I'm still regulated in that case, you know, just. So if you look at regulation, could it be that the child is bored? It's okay for children to be bored. It doesn't mean we have to save them, but it could be that the child is bored. So they're looking for a sensory input. So they're going to start agitating the other child and they start to
fight.
That's
the closest person nearby.
Exactly. Yeah. And the most, the person who's, it's easier to agitate, you know. So it might be a younger sibling in that case. But also it could be that they're trying to regulate a family system where there's a family and there's no conflict in the family or no conflict between the parents. That isn't healthy. That system is going to look for balance. And so what will happen is you'll find that the child, it'll come out in the child maybe, or a family where there's no conflict allowed. They might be fighting with the neighbours or there might be problems in school, you know. So siblings will fight with each other if they're allowed, if they can.
The parents are going to, they can be involved in these, can they can be driving these things.
They could be driving it unbeknownst to themselves. If there's a lot of tension between parents where they can't fight it out amongst themselves, you might have a parent who's in constant conflict with a problem child, for instance.
Right.
Yeah. So it's very important and interesting to look what's underneath, what else is around. It could be that the parents are driving the fights through having a favourite or through driving competition by prizing certain aspects, you know. And society does this too, not just parents, you know.
Yeah,
society.
But the parents, they're not really aware of it, are they? Because they're probably, their favourite might be just the child who's the similar interest to them. So they're naturally going to give them more attention and encouragement.
Yeah, so we have to watch that, how much we prize these things, you know, because it could be that a parent is thrilled that a child shows, you know, great academic achievement. Yeah. And another child might just devalue that academic ability in themselves because they don't want to feel so bad or jealous. So they just think, oh, that's not important. I'm
that
the sporty
will be a lane
one.
I'm going to come.
Yeah, that's not a lane I'm going to go into now.
Wow.
I'm going to choose this over here because we always want to be seen for who we are. We always want to find that way.
Timmy is top of his class. There's no point in going for that avenue for validation in the world.
I'm not even
going
to try.
Just become the runner or something instead.
Yeah, gosh. I'm the clown. I'm the runner. I'm whatever. Yeah.
Would the parents also possibly be driving competition? The sort of like, why can't you be more like Timmy?
Yeah, no, I think probably we do that in moments where we don't mean to. Maybe in the past, parents thought, oh, that was a good thing to do. I think we all know it's not good to compare, but we can do it, you know, not meaning to do it, by just giving it loads of attention or always going to a certain child's matches and never showing up to the others or always.
You have to
step
back, do you, and see, are you balancing your attention, basically, as a parent?
Actually, really step back, not just even in as performatively, but actually to think, what do I actually want for my children? Well, I want them to be happy. I want them to individuate. I want them to be themselves. I want to get to know who they are, you know, so to create space for that.
Is there a function for the sibling rivalry then when you're kind of just looking at it from the children's point of view between them?
Yeah, like something always that I find coming up all the time is a dominant sibling and a less dominant sibling.
Right.
So we always want to protect the less dominant sibling. But actually, the you know, the system is very wise in itself. That dominant child is teaching something to the younger sibling.
Really?
They are teaching them to stand up for themselves. So the more we interrupt
by being
that
mean?
Cycle. Well, yeah, that's our interpretation, of course.
Okay, yes, yes it is.
Both drawn to each other to the same degree. They are both drawn to each other.
Okay.
It's all in the system.
And you
so
were saying,
if we can step out, let it happen.
Don't
interrupt the cycle. No,
it
don't.
It's a hard thing to do, can't
it? So hard. And that's where, if we check in with ourselves and why is it so hard, you know, it's going to be a different reason for one person and another person why that is so hard, you know. But that's where our own families of origin can be interesting to look at.
How does this relate to play?
Really, it really relates to play, because all of these things can be worked out in a game, in play.
Okay.
And in a game, children can storm off.
Right.
You know, in a game, they can fight about the game. It doesn't have to be personal. And we get to know children through play as well. If we can create the space in our homes for play, if we're not worried about the place getting messy, if we're not worried about all the noise, if we're more, you know, we have things available, you know, say for teenagers, it might be a dartboard, it might be a table tennis table, could be, you know, those sort of things. You know, for younger children, are they allowed to paint and get their own water and fight with each other about who's using all the red, you know, or about the younger sibling putting the black paint in the water and the whatever, all these things, they're going to come up. It's going to come up. It'll come up all the time.
This is the cycle. You have to let go.
You have to let it go. Yeah, you can empathise.
Okay,
yeah,
yes, okay.
You could empathise, you know. Do you want to tell me a tale and I'll empathise? Oliver's looking at me now, evil eyes here. If you be my child.
Let them be mean.
Tell me a tale on one of your siblings there, just pretend, I'll be your mother.
Timmy's after destroying. I was painting a lovely yellow sun and Timmy came along and he put his black brush in and now the yellow sun is going to be, it's cloudy now. He's destroyed it.
It's not yellow anymore.
Timmy needs to go outside.
You think he should go outside?
Stand
for that?
In the hailstones.
You're so annoyed. You want him to get wet?
He's horrible. He's a brat.
You think he deserves it?
Yeah.
Oh, and you had that lovely song.
Why aren't you doing something about it, Mammy? Come on.
Yeah, you want me to do it? It sounds like you've got great ideas of your own.
No, he's destroyed. I have the yellow. The sun is grey now. What am I going to do?
You've got a grey sun now. You're not sure
about
what to do.
What are you doing about it, though?
No, you're getting mad. I can see how angry
you're getting. Actually, I'm actually getting very angry about this.
So I always say to parents, you know, when
I have to have the tantrum at the store office, isn't it?
You have to take responsibility for pushing him out to the hailstones or for getting over it. You see, it's your choice. You get to work it out.
You sounded like you were teasing the child.
Yeah, it does feel like that sometimes, I'd say. Yeah.
I was waiting for you to go, why did you sort it out and put him out? Then you've got another problem.
Well, when I'm not jumping in, you know, because sometimes when I do that role play with parents, sometimes they go, oh, I liked it when you were telling me what to do, because I'll change it around the other way, you know.
Okay. And, I see. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And I'll give out. And sometimes if parents say, oh, I liked it when you were telling me what to do when you were sorting it out. Well, that's information for us as well, because that tells us, OK, so the tales are coming from a place of keeping me busy as a parent.
Yeah.
That's their way of drawing in my attention. So, you know, when they're coming telling tales, what are they saying? Are they really talking about the yellow sunflower and figuring out, is my mom going to kill me? Will she still love me if I shove Timmy out in the rain? Is that okay? And in that case, it probably was okay.
There might be also they're lying and they're seeing if they can get away with it kind of thing. See if you're going to take action on Timmy.
Exactly. Or it could be, you know, that they just don't know what to do. You know, they're just kind of figuring out how much they feel about this. Or maybe they just want a connection with you and that's the only thing that'll get you off your phone and taking them seriously is when...
Take the parents off the phone.
They're upset.
Yeah.
So how are we making connection with our kids? Are we more likely...
They look up from the phone finally when there's a bit of crying and a bit of a...
Yeah, because you want it to stop. Because the noise will drive you nuts. And so now they've got your 100% attention, which is what they want, because they want to connect with you. So if that's what's driving the rivalry, then we know, okay, maybe I need to spend a little bit less time being preoccupied with other things and actually turn my daily tasks into playful things. You know, making the dinner, going to bed, leaving the house. How can we turn that into playful moments? Because playful moments come before play.
Is the proper, like, kind of the normal... what kids would call play and a game is that they can do the cycle because the game comes to an end and it's all parked there.
Yeah.
They just move on to the next thing.
Exactly. But sure, you'll remember yourself from being a child how often people playing the game get to storm off. Roar, and then come back, and they have to find
it. Ended.
Yeah, they have to find a new way to come back. So that's a training ground for our relationships with our partners or with our colleagues. Like conflict is going to come. How are we going to deal with it? Can we come back?
Someone is saying that it's kind of stood to them even as adults. Growing up with four siblings, we were always fighting like cats and dogs. Our parents just left us to it. There was no better way to figure out how to deal with different personalities and what is and isn't okay. We're thick as thieves these days. Never afraid to set each other straight. So they're able to tell each other f off. The odd time now, and it doesn't cause a lifelong feud.
There's nothing like a sibling to ground you, is he? And no matter how famous you are, you're still always that fella who did whatever, you know.
Now, on the other side of that, my son is very aggressive towards his siblings. We are walking on eggshells around him, don't know what we can do. High achieving in school, but at home, his behaviour is very disruptive.
Yeah. So often children will give other children the feeling that they have themselves. Like adults will do that too, you know, to understand ourselves. So you might have experience, you meet somebody and you talk to them and you walk away and you go, oh my God, that fella always puts me in a bad mood. He's so cranky. You've got the feeling of what that fella has. So in the same way that children who come in to play in groups or in individual therapy on notice, they will give us or other children the feelings that they have themselves. So that child is giving his brother the feeling, giving them in the house the feeling that he has. He feels all wound up and tight. He's high achieving in school. There's these expectations of him, and then he's coming home and he's letting go. So I suppose to look at what our children's day-to-day life is. How much time are they spending around people who are paid to look after them? Mm. Or maybe not even just paid, but even sports coaches, whatever. Because I how see, many yeah. rules are they being exposed to, where there's all this holding, you know.
You have to achieve here, achieve there.
Yeah, okay. Or hold, you know. So it can be just a release, and he's given the sibling that feeling
and
of what he has.
If they're released from their feelings, they're not going to subject the siblings to it at that.
I still wouldn't be jumping in. I still in that
case,
yeah. In that case, I like you can't really say what anyone should do themselves. But you know, letting children fight it out is still the optimum thing to do there. But with the knowledge of how can we look at other things in their life to change? Maybe they don't have enough crack going on in their life. Maybe they don't have enough fun, because that wouldn't come up if they were.
It's somewhat similar. Two teenagers who don't talk to each other. They're not fighting. They just ignore each other. I'm wondering how to help them. Says Siobhan.
Yeah, so if I were Siobhan, I would be allowing that to happen, allow them not talk to each other. But maybe you can create times where, you know, you're all around each other. Mm-hmm. And so if it's a restaurant that you like to go to, if there's situations that they enjoy, things that you like to do, films that you like to watch, whatever. And it'll happen organically, you know. But again, wonder about all the other things. What's the function? Is there a function?
Right,
or is it just typical, normal conflict that you're...
You have to set back and
that you have a fantasy about. Yeah, maybe they're just working something out.
Siblings are going to be different all the time.
We don't need to know everything.
Red Jaigo, thanks a million for coming in.
Thank you,
Oliver. I want to tell people about playful parenting, which will be very useful for people this Saturday, the 23rd of May in Dunmore East in Waterford, and on the 6th of June in Glasnevin in Dublin. You go to reggiestherapy.ie and you'll help people out as ever.
Thank you.
Rachel English is live from the University of Galway today. Chat again tomorrow. Slán.